a reason that God wants you to have children when you are young. She's wearing me out. I keep sitting in the recliner and pointing, say, Kathy, she wants this. Kathy, she wants that. Kathy, she wants that. Directing Kathy is a chore. And Grandma, she just loves little girl, and she'll do anything in the world for little girl. So I will too. So that's the way that goes. Yep, that's the way that goes. But like I said, I'm glad to know that God has a plan. So all you young married couples out there, He's got a plan for you. Just be ready. I want to mention that Joyce is very weak, so make sure that you make your visit short. That's one thing. I want to tell everybody how thankful I am that y'all were able to step up and take over my spot up here as your minister. I appreciate that. During my illness, I actually thought I was going to get away and not get sick, because Kathy got to feeling bad on Friday. She really felt bad on Saturday, felt bad on Sunday, and of course I was quarantined at that time. And we knew that she had COVID, and she felt bad on Monday, but started feeling better on Tuesday. And I thought I was going to make it without getting it. And then Wednesday hit. And then when Wednesday hit, I knew I wasn't going to get away with it. So the fever came and the coughing came and all those other things came with it. But I am sure glad to be back with you today. People ask me, say, how are you doing? Are you 100%? I said, no, I'm not 100%. About 60, 65. I can't run very fast, but I couldn't run very fast before, so it didn't matter. So that's the way that goes. But I want to thank all of you for being here, and I want to thank you for all the help that you gave us, because we had people that brought food over and the prayers that you gave out for us. I want to thank you for all those things that you did in our absence, and we appreciate it. We appreciate this congregation. We've got several missing today, if you haven't noticed, because a lot of our young people are gone. And the reason they're gone, they're off at a youth rally. And so pray for them, pray for their return and whatnot. One of the things that I noticed real fast today is that they changed the locks to the office. I don't have a key. I'm not sure exactly if y'all were trying to tell me something or not. But they changed the locks to the office, and I don't have a key to get in, so I can't get in the office right now. So if you want to get in the office, you're just going to have to break in. So that's the only way that we're going to be able to get in. I want to talk today about what makes us different. Okay? You ever feel different? You should. You should feel different. And the reason why you should feel different is because you are not like everybody else. You are not. And it's important for you to realize that you are not like everybody else. It's important for you to realize that we have something different. That we are special. And we need to realize that we are special. We talked a little bit about this before, about how in the Old Testament times that the Jewish people were God's chosen people, and they were chosen to bring about Jesus Christ. Well, they brought about Jesus Christ. And now, today, we as Christians are God's chosen people. We are His children. We are His children. We have hope of salvation. We have a place with Him in heaven where the world does not have this. This makes us different. This makes us peculiar, is the word that is used. because we are not the same. When you were baptized and you came up out of that water, I want you to know something. You are not the same. You were buried in the likeness of the death of Jesus Christ, and therefore you were raised in the likeness of His resurrection. Read Romans chapter 6. For now we walk in the newness of life. We are not the same creature we were before. We are not condemned by our sins, but rather we are saved by the grace of God, which comes to us through the love that He sent His Son, and the blood that His Son shed for us cleanses us of all sins that we have in this world. We are peculiar. We are different. We are not the same. And so if you read Romans chapter 6 and you start there with verse 1, it says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What's the response that God gives us? God forbids. And the reason why He forbids it is because we are no longer that way. How can we who are dead to sin live any longer there in it? We are no longer part of that. There are lots of people out there in this world that said, all you have to do is believe and you will be saved. Folks, I'm going to tell you, that's not all you have to do. Belief is something that you must do, because in belief, in John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, it says this, this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He has commanded us. That we believe. Belief is a requirement for salvation. If you do not believe in Jesus Christ, you reject God. If you do not believe in God, you reject God. If you do not believe in His Word, you reject the plan of salvation. Folks, we must realize that we must believe. That is a requirement for salvation. Do not ever think it's not, because it is. Because I've had people come to me and say, well, you must believe. And I said, yep, you're exactly right. But don't draw a line and say it stops right there. Because remember, there is a meaning for belief. The first thing is that you must believe that God is the Father and creator of all things. You must believe in God. Are there people out there in this world today that believe in God the Father, that do not believe in anything else? Well, secondly, we must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. These are the first two things we must believe. We must believe in God the Father. We must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And the third thing, which is very important, we must believe that the Bible is the Word of God. And within that Word is the plan of salvation. Without that Word of God, we have no guidance toward salvation. We must believe all three of these things. But I want you to understand something about that. That Satan believes all three of those things. Have you ever thought about that exactly? Satan believes in God. Satan believes in Jesus Christ the Son. Remember the man who had the legion of demons? They ran out and proclaimed who Jesus was before even the apostles knew who Jesus was. Satan believes. Satan also believes in the Word of God. Because one of Satan's big weapons that he uses against us is the Word of God. Remember how he treated Jesus. He said, go ahead and jump from this pinnacle, for it is written that the angels will come and lift you up should you stump your toe. Now, was he right? Yes, it is written there. But one of the things is he leaves out a whole bunch, doesn't he? When it comes to belief, is it important that we believe? You bet. Because if you don't believe, you have already committed literally the unpardonable sin, denying God. But realize this, that it doesn't stop there. And Satan would like it to stop right there because he believes. And if that's all that is needed for salvation, then in heaven, Satan will be there with us. But we know that's not going to take place. Because there's something that makes us different than the demons. There's something that makes us different than Satan. And that something is this. We have faith. Realize what faith is. Faith is certainty of things hoped for, a proof of things not seen. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I know that God is the Father of all things and the Creator of all things. There is no question in me. That is the certainty. That is what makes us different. And faith, realize this, is set up to where we serve God. This is what makes us different than Satan. For Satan believes, but Satan has zero faith. Because our faith is to the point that we will serve God. This is one of my favorite verses, Joshua 24:15. Because he's saying to the people of Israel, he says, if it's disagreeable for you to serve God, then go ahead and serve all these other gods that you choose. Go ahead and serve all these gods of your forefathers. But the best statement in there is this, but for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what makes us different. Is the fact that we will serve God. And Him only do we serve. We don't serve an idol. We don't serve another person. We serve God. That's the difference between us and Satan. For Satan serves self. We serve God. Does that make sense to everybody? Do you understand the difference that I'm talking about between us and Satan? Because Satan believes all those things that we're taught to believe. God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Bible, the Word. Satan believes all those things. But the difference is, we serve God. We walk in faith. Where Satan does not. Now notice this also. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 says this. We are a chosen generation. You have been chosen. You have been chosen to walk with God. You have been chosen to be His children. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. While I was laid up at the house, I wanted to get on and watch Us, but I couldn't. And everybody came and said, oh yeah, you can get on with your phone, you can get on television, you can get on this and all this. I said, no, you can get on all that. But I don't know how. And so what I did was I watched some of these other quote-unquote TV evangelists. And notice I said quote-unquote. Because very rarely in their message that they would give, very rarely they would even mention the Word of God. They might give a verse. Some of them might even give two verses. But the rest of the time in a 30-minute sermon, they very rarely would bring up the Word of God at all. Folks, that's not how it's supposed to be. We are different because we believe in that Word. And we are different because that Word is the plan of salvation. And therefore, when I get up before you and I put these verses up on the board, it's there to show you that it's not my Word that I'm giving you. This is God's Word that is being given to you. We are different. We are peculiar to the world. And one of the reasons why we are peculiar to the world is because we are forgiving of others. Do you realize in Matthew chapter 6, it tells us that if you forgive other people their offenses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. We are forgiving people. Have you forgiven anybody this week? I know I've been forgiven a few times this week. Folks, when I'm sick, I'm cranky. I've been forgiven a few times this week. Realize also that you've been forgiven many times this week. You've been forgiven many times by our Heavenly Father. Folks, we forgive others because we have been forgiven. Once you realize exactly how much you've been forgiven, it becomes easier and easier to forgive others. And as I told you this story before about Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, realize how many times in a day you come short of God's glory. Realize how many times you have been forgiven today already. Realize how many times that I'm not there. And it's only because of the grace of God that I am there. God has forgiven you. And therefore, because I have been forgiven, then I can forgive others. We are different than the world because the world doesn't forgive. The world has a tendency to condemn. We forgive others, and that makes us different. But the reason why we forgive others is because we have been forgiven. Look at this one. The world does not pray for their enemies. We've got things going on in the world right now that are terrible. We've got wars happening right now in Ukraine, in Israel. There's chances that these wars will expand and more countries will get involved. All these things will take place. But realize this. Are any of those people praying for their enemies? I'll never forget when Osama bin Laden was killed. I'll never forget that. Because my first response was to a congregation, have you prayed for him? Now, granted, he's an evil person. Granted, God took care of him. But realize that we are still to pray for our enemies. And I want you to know that that is probably one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life, is to pray for people who despitefully use me, who have done things wrong to me, who have done things wrong to you. It is probably the most difficult thing to do. But we are called to do it because we have been forgiven. And because we have been forgiven, we are called to pray for those who have not yet been forgiven. Pray for their salvation. Pray that they come to know God. Pray that they come to know Jesus Christ. There are evil people in this world. There are. Pray that they find Christ. Because God's goal is that no one should perish, but all have everlasting life. I'm asking you to do something very difficult, but do it. Because we're not like the world. We have been redeemed. This is something new that we should do also, is always follow that golden rule. If I am in sin, brothers and sisters, I would like you to pray for me. If I am in need, brothers and sisters, I would like you to pray for me. But folks, I need to pray for you. I need to treat you the same way I myself want to be treated. If I want somebody to bring me food when I'm ill, then I need to bring others food when they're ill. If I want somebody to visit me when I'm sick and in the hospital, then I need to go visit them when they're sick and in the hospital. I need to lift our brothers and sisters up. I need to help them along the way. I need to follow the golden rule, and the golden rule is this: to treat others the same way that you yourself would like to be treated. That is not how the world is. That makes us different. Because our desire is to serve God and serve others. The two most important commandments: love God and love one another. I want you to know something that is probably the most important reason that we are different. We are different because we have Jesus Christ. That is why we are different. That is why we can pray for those who spitefully use us. That is why we can treat others the way that we ourselves would like to be treated. That is why we are forgiving of other people who have done us wrong. It's because Christ dwells in you. This is the reason that we are different in this world. This is the reason that we are peculiar. This is the reason that when we leave this place, that others take notice of us and are drawn to Christ because of it. My word for you today is this: be different. Because the one who lives in you is the difference maker for all people of all time. The plan of salvation is here. The plan of salvation is now. If you need our prayers, or if you need to be baptized, we want to give you the opportunity to come. In that, you will step out from the world. You will be different because you have put on Jesus Christ. He is the one that makes us different. Come, all together we stand and sing.